Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast, Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to the resort and pick it up from your resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals and a Walt Disney World approved vendor. Today on The Dad Show, I'll be talking with Matt Hallbauer about his family's July 2012 Walt Disney World vacation as part of a family group of 11 adults staying off-site for a week with 5 days in the theme parks. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
So you took this vacation back in summer 2012 in July with sort of an interesting group. Why don't you tell us about the group that you headed down to Walt Disney World with?
I went with my in-laws. Okay. And it was actually it was a good experience.
Okay, but this was more than just you and your in-laws, right? I mean, this was a big group of adults.
Yeah, it was really all of my in-laws. Briefly, in terms of my history with going down to the parks,
sure.
I had never been prior to my honeymoon, and I didn't really particularly want to go. I had never been as a kid, and so we were kicking around what we were going to do on the honeymoon. In terms of budget, this was something that we could actually pull off, and we had an aunt and uncle of hers who were kind enough to give us – they were basically giving us a stay. They own property at the timeshare development that we ended up staying in. And okay. Long story short, I'm now talking about it on a podcast. So the trip went really well.
Well, good. You and I share something there, because I'd never been to the Walt Disney World before I was an adult either. And you had this unique opportunity to go down with this big family group of your in-laws,
right.
11 people, and you were just mentioning that you stayed off-property at a condo resort. Where'd you stay?
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about the resort.
We stayed at Polynesian Isles, which is off – it's on its own side street, but it's off of Erlo Bronson Highway. 305 Polynesian Isles Boulevard, if anyone wants to look it up.
Okay.
But it was about 10 or 15 minutes off property, about parking lot to parking lot. And when we went back for this larger trip, we went to the same resort. Actually, we were very close to our original room. It was a trip planned by the same aunt and uncle that had given us the trip. They planned a larger one for the entirety of the family.
Okay.
So there were three separate condos that were purchased or rented for this trip, so that we split up all of the adults among those three different rooms.
Okay. So you had kind of a Hallbauer family compound going on.
Yes. Although it was technically a Underwood PLAC.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. And you were staying at the off-property condos. You also... I think it's worth mentioning, I think you should talk to us a little bit about how you got to Orlando in the first place, because you're coming from the Midwest, you're coming from St. Louis. How did you get to Walt Disney World?
We drove. I've gone three times. I've driven every time. This particular trip, we had four drivers in the same vehicle, so we only stopped for gas.
Nice. And so being able to do that, and I think that's one of the things that's kind of nice and unique about taking a trip like this with all adults. You know, you don't have to worry about the five-year-old who just can't stand sitting anymore and, you know, has to run a couple of laps at the rest stop.
Right.
And so how long a drive, how long did it take you to make that drive with, you know, a group of all adults?
It's roughly with stops. It takes about 18 hours. It's between 17 and 18. Leaving in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that jives with what I expected. I'm in Kansas City, and so I've been figuring it would probably be about 22 hours for me, and that's kind of just over the edge, you know. I haven't been able to convince myself to really, you know, get everybody in the car and go. I've come close twice, and both times we found airfares on sale, and I chickened out. And did y'all caravan down, or everybody just kind of drive down on their own?
Everyone kind of drove down on their own. Everyone was kind of on a different schedule in terms of being able to leave for work and coming from other places, even though we're all roughly from the same area. It was just everyone sort of left on their own schedule and arrived down there, I want to say on the Sunday of the week that we arrived.
Okay.
Just kind of at different times.
Right. Well, and that makes sense because you had mentioned before we started recording that you had kind of this zero day where you all just kind of gathered at the resort. And then once you'd all gathered, you were ready to hit the parks, and you hit, parks for about 5 days straight. And
yeah.
I think rather than try and you know, recreate your trip day by day, I want to try and focus on the things about this trip that were particularly memorable. And so...
Okay.
Why don't we start with what park did you visit first? We'll go ahead and use that as our jumping off point.
I'm relatively certain we started at the studios.
Okay.
If only because that was the first park that I had ever been to. So there was a little bit of retracing our steps.
Okay. So you were a little bit of kind of modeling back off of your honeymoon trip.
Yeah.
All right. So what were some of the highlights of your visit to Hollywood Studios?
The trip itself was interesting for a couple of reasons. For me, it was really weird because I had been lucky enough. That was actually the second time I had gone that summer.
Oh, wow.
My wife had been kind enough to not kill me when friends of mine had given me the opportunity to go along with them and sort of be a third adult. Kind of to hang out and keep track of their four kids.
Oh, nice.
So I had kind of had an advanced viewing of the parks a few weeks prior. So there was a little bit of it was weird for me because I was kind of going in with a lot more knowledge.
This was kind of a return to Hollywood Studios. You were getting to go back again within a relatively short time frame.
And you knew
some things about the park, maybe that some of the folks that were there with you, hadn't experienced because you'd been there just a few weeks before.
Yes, there were definitely some objectives that things that I wanted to do with the previous trip that I was going to make sure that I did, especially when I was going with my wife. I had on the previous trip, I'd seen four of the six sequences in Star Tours, and I was going to try and get all six, and
right.
I eventually did. That was one of the big goals of the park of each park. I think the other one was finally making it when we got to Magic Kingdom. Was finally making it over to Tom Sawyer Island, which we didn't do on our first trip, but I was really excited to go over and check out my first trip ever.
So tell me about how, what happens when a group of 11 adults goes to explore Tom Sawyer Island.
Well, and that's the thing. We really, it's, every group had it, every little subgroup, because it was, not to belabor the point, but in terms of how the group was made up, it was myself and my wife, her sister and her husband, my wife's parents, so my in-laws, and then my wife's aunt and uncle and one of their grown children and his significant other.
Okay.
So we had a pretty wide group in terms of age-wise, and another aunt was there. Sorry, I almost forgot. The one that actually stayed with us, but we had a pretty wide range. We had one adult that's in a scooter. Everybody else, for the most part, mobile with no other kind of mobility issues. Everyone kind of had their own priorities. We were apart a lot. We were all together in the parks pretty rarely. There was a contingent that actually spent a good chunk of the trip away from the parks. They spent 2 days down in the Keys and went back and forth.
Okay, so that's an interesting thing. You know, I like that model, really, particularly when you're traveling with adults, because, you know, everybody has different interests, and you go crazy trying to come up with one plan that works for everybody. So it sounds to me like, you know, you guys addressed that by just making sure you basically used your condos as your gathering place and then just yes. kind of split up from there.
Yeah, the majority of the family time was really at the end of the night after we were done for the parks and everyone came in and, you know, got something to eat and hanging out in the pool and everything. That's really where a lot of the larger family time came into play. Other than that, it was just kind of small groups throughout the week. And there was a fair amount of time in the park where it was just my wife and I.
Yeah, sure. Well, let's go back then and try and pick back up with Hollywood Studios. It was fine, we wandered away, but let's get our way back there. And you know, were there any things at Hollywood Studios aside from making sure that you caught the rest of the Star Tour scenes that either were goals or were just things that you experienced there that you really made the Hollywood Studios part of that trip memorable?
One of the things that we wanted to do, and we kind of hit on this idea kind of late, which is slightly embarrassing, but one of the things we wanted to do, the kind of the pretense for the entire trip was my in-law's 30th wedding anniversary. And so this trip was actually delayed a couple of years when everybody would have been available to go for a large family trip. And my wife and my sister-in-law and brother-in-law, we wanted to do something special, particularly for mom and dad. And on my previous trip, when I was kind of the au pair, kind of not, that trip, the people I was with, they were on the dining plan, which was fantastic for me because that's not something that I'm prepared to dip my toe into.
Okay.
But they were very generous and they did it. So I got to try a lot of different things. And one of the best meals I've had in my life was at Brown Derby. So kind of late into the trip planning for this trip that I'm talking about, we decided, I think while we were down there, let's put some money on a gift card and see if we can get my in-laws a reservation at Brown Derby, which we were able to do.
Oh,
and
nice.
That was
nice.
Yeah. So that ended up going really well. I think we got, I want to say we got the, I can't remember the actual package, but the reservation where it comes with the advanced seating for Fantasmic.
Oh, yeah, sure, the Fantasmic dinner package.
Yes, yes. So that was something that we got to do. One thing that I did that I was not anticipating doing in the studios, and I hopefully will never have to do this again. Apologies to anyone that really enjoys the American Idol experience. I'm glad you had a thing you really like. It's not my cup of tea. I'm not trying to harsh anybody's squee there, but it's not really my thing. My sister-in-law, however, is a fantastic singer. My father-in-law is a musician as well. They play a lot of gigs locally in St. Louis and South City. And so she was debating whether or not she was going to try out.
Okay.
And I was hoping she wasn't because I didn't want to be stuck,
right,
you know, going to
waiting
that.
Waiting for her stage times.
Yes. And then, lo and behold, on one of my multiple excursions onto Star Tours, when we got off, we found out that my sister-in-law had tried out, and because she is so talented, she had got on. So that ended up, we ended up sitting through the entire sequence of shows when she, I can't remember how many it was, how many performances once
okay.
you get on and you keep winning.
Right.
But she went to the very end. It was cool to have done.
Right.
I have no desire to do it again.
Yeah, I'm dreading this one. I have a daughter who's 11 years old right now, so she's a little bit too young. I think it's 3 more years. She's got to be at least 14, but she desperately wants to audition, and I'm just hoping that they replace the American Idol experience before she's old enough.
Star Wars expansion.
Yeah, I'm rooting for it. Get here quick.
But in terms of the rest of the time at the studios, that's kind of the two. Those are kind of the two things. It was my personal mission to see every component of Star Tours, and then the unexpected gift of getting to see all of the American Isle experience.
All right. Did you stay for Fantasmic?
We did stay for Fantasmic.
And what did you think of it?
Go ahead. Sorry.
That's all right. Oh, it was just what do you think of the show?
The first time that I saw Fantasmic, I loved it. And this is going back to my very first trip in 2010 on my honeymoon. I enjoyed it immensely. I have a theater background, and that's sort of my in for Disney in a certain sense, because I didn't grow up with an affection for the classic characters, and I certainly love animation. And I like a lot of the full length features, but I was never really big into the animated shorts. Although I'm starting to some affection starting to grow on my side for that. so some of that stuff doesn't work on me the same way. But as a production, I was really into it. But I was very interested to go back to it because in the span of time from having no frame of reference really for Walt Disney World and going for my first trip and then becoming infected with what I refer to as the affliction,
yes,
which is being into Disney, being into the parks to the degree that I am.
It's an expensive to treat disease.
Oh, indeed. Yeah. It's problematic. That led to a lot of, I really like watching ride videos. I like watching ride footage. For places that I probably won't get to go, like I don't know when I'll be able to go out west to Disneyland. I don't know if that'll ever be in the cards, although I would like to do it at some point. As much as I enjoyed the first time I'd seen Fantasmic, in the meantime I have seen multiple videos of the Disneyland version.
Oh, sure.
And so there's kind of this thing of like, okay, let's see how this holds up now that I know how they do it out there. And it was still, I had a really good time. A good experience. And it was the extra bump of being there with my extended family, who have a long history of going to the parks. So
sure. All right, so let's kind of make our way around to the next park, sort of next door. Did you spend any time in Epcot on this trip?
We did spend time at Epcot. I'm trying to think if I can. There's nothing jumping out at me about a particular experience there. One thing that my wife and I did not get to do on our honeymoon, we didn't make it onto Soarin', and that was something that I rectified earlier in that summer. And so I was loudly banging the drum of, "We have to go.
Right.
We have to get on that. We have to get on this thing." And I was everyone that I was able to get onto it in terms of everyone that was in the parks with me on that particular day and was able to ride the ride. Walked away from it kind of the same way I did. So that was a good experience. Unfortunately, it was all this. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, just Soarin' is definitely a favorite among my family as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a great thing. Oddly enough, every time that I've gone, Test Track has been down. So I never experienced the original. Obviously, I never experienced World of Motion. I never experienced the original Test Track, and they were installing the Chevy Test Track when I was down there in both times in 12. So that's what duded me.
Right. Well, you'll have to get back and deal with that one.
hopefully soon.
Yeah.
One thing that didn't happen on this trip in Epcot was we did not stay for Illuminations at all, which bummed me out because Illuminations is probably my favorite fireworks show. I wish this is great. I haven't seen any of these special event shows, obviously, but I got a real soft spot for Illuminations. And the fact that I didn't go that time is kind of a weird sticking point for me. I really wish I would have been able to do that again.
Right. Sure. All right. So not much from Epcot, although sharing Soarin for the first time is kind of a big deal. Let's keep moving around from park to park, and it, you know, as other things come up, do go ahead and feel free to interrupt. But
one of the things about Soarin' was that my in-laws had been they had the opportunity this year. They had to go out west for some other trips of their own. They made sure to take some time off and hit Disneyland. It hit California, California Adventure. And as a kind of as a result of doing of me getting my mother-in-law onto Soarin', she was hell bent on going when she went when they went to California Adventure.
Oh, right.
She was able to talk my father-in-law onto it, a man who is deathly afraid of heights. I don't know how she did it. I don't know how she sold it. I know he got on the ride and his eyes are closed the whole time, so I don't know what he got out of it. I just know that it happened, and it's basically my fault because she wouldn't have tried, you know, without me getting her onto Soarin' in the first place in Florida.
Right. Well, it's like a virus. You know, you infected her, yeah. And she infected him.
And he punched me when he got home.
I was just going to say, it's a brave woman to, you know, let herself get strapped into a chair next to the guy who really doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, I still don't know. She texted me. She's like, Dad's getting on Soarin' with me. And I'm like, why are you trying to kill him?
All right, so let's go ahead and take the monorail across to Magic Kingdom. And talk about some of the highlights of Magic Kingdom for you guys on that trip.
Magic Kingdom is this is surprising probably no one. It's a really common opinion. It's my favorite park of the four. I think it's a lot of people's favorite park. So getting to do that, getting to be back there was great. Just the ambiance of walking in and being on Main Street and seeing the castle again was, as much as I enjoy the, you know, the studios has a special place. It's the first Disney park I went into. My wife's really fond of the studio, so that, you know, that means a lot. Epcot, I have a weird reaction to because I have these really odd memories as a kid of seeing commercials for Disneyland, or excuse me, for Walt Disney World, and ones that really focus on Epcot, and not really getting what Epcot was, and so having this very vague sense of it.
Yeah,
and kind of filling in the gaps of what I thought it was versus what I know it to be now. That's amplified with Magic Kingdom because it has such kind of a level of cultural penetration.
Sure.
So going back, I mean, on top of the fact that I just like the park. It's some of my absolute favorite rides are in there. I'm a little bit of a coaster nerd, and even though Space Mountain and Big Thunder aren't the most intense experiences, they're still a lot of fun, and they're, you know, they're for the most part very well handled. I'm a huge Mansion nerd, so I don't know how many times I rode the Mansion.
All right,
get in and check everything out as some of the early Fast Pass Plus queue changes were going in was kind of interesting at that point. The Haunted Mansion queue had been up and running for a little while and kind of sussing out how.
Yeah, that's 2012 was right as a lot of those interactive queue elements were going in there at Haunted Mansion and at Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, one of the things in Magic Kingdom I still have yet to do.
Really?
Now, we didn't make it on.
Actually, that kind of makes sense to me because, you had mentioned that you didn't have that kind of childhood connection to the classic films. And so do you find that you spend more of your time in the areas other than Fantasyland as a result of that?
Yeah, I think some of that is just I'm trying to, like, in terms of attractions at Fantasyland, that trip was the first time I had seen PhilharMagic, and I really enjoyed that. That'll be something whenever I get to go back that I'm interested to do. Again, what else? Fantasyland on that trip was a big deal. Dumbo was operational. Dumbo had been moved and was operational, so it was interesting to see how they put that in place. The carousel, nothing really there for me. No problem with carousels as a ride.
Right.
I don't hate Small World. I enjoy. I don't. Yeah, you kind of go in expecting the worst. You kind of grow up with the popular wisdom of how awful it is, and I don't mind it. Willingly rode that a few times. Jumped in the queue during a few Florida downpours. I mean, I like Fantasyland. I'm not as enamored with it as I am, I would say, Tomorrowland.
Okay.
But I probably ride the same amount of rides, and from land to land.
All right. Well, you just kind of led us somewhere. So, what do you think your favorite land at the Magic Kingdom is?
Ooh, this is where I get weird and picky. my favorite, one of my favorite parts of the park is Tomorrowland, and specifically the few remaining fringe parts of Tomorrowland, where you can it's still the Tomorrowland 67 look, and not okay. the. Or whatever they were going for with the intergalactic spaceport look, where there's all kind of the extra signage and the extra visual elements that are like grafted onto the people mover track. I just like being in that space. I'm a sucker for that kind of space age, jet age future kind of aesthetic from sure. the 50s and 60s.
The atomic age. The atomic age aesthetic.
Oh, absolutely. Love it. So I like hanging out by those areas. And there's not many of them. They're kind of on the fringes of Tomorrowland. But I've bored people and made the comment of that's the pointing up at the those sections of the people mover track. And like, that's what it's supposed to look like. So, I have lots of unfortunate opinions about that place. But yeah, no, I like being in Tomorrowland, even as I'm complaining about certain aesthetic elements. Right. I like being in there.
Okay. Well, sounds good. And then the last park that we haven't talked about yet is Animal Kingdom. Did you spend any time in Animal Kingdom on this trip?
We spent time in Animal Kingdom. That was an interesting park because that was someplace that my in-laws had never been to. From the last time that they had been in Disney World, Animal Kingdom wasn't even open. So getting to experience the park through them was interesting. I like Animal Kingdom in theory. I wish I spent more time there. I don't necessarily agree that it's a half-day park, the way that a lot of people criticize it, but I don't feel that I'm drawn there as much. I don't feel the need to kind of hang around there the way that I'm just kind of happy to putt around the Magic Kingdom.
Right.
But the great thing, I mean, it was still a great experience to get to see that ride or get to see that park with a fresh set of eyes. I did finally get to take in Festival of the Lion King and felt like an idiot for not going to see that before on either of the trips. Again, with having kind of a theater background, I'm like, why didn't I get in here in the first place? This is ludicrous.
Okay. No, so you saw Festival. Have you seen Finding Nemo the musical yet?
No, I wanted to, and we couldn't make it work.
See, that's my one of my frustrations at Animal Kingdom right now is that it is hard to make both those shows work because they aren't scheduled so that they necessarily are easy to make it to both shows. And if you've got a theater background. I think, and you enjoyed Lion King, I think you would be blown away by Finding Nemo, because...
I've heard that before. Other people that have gone have told me that. We had to make a judgment call. I think we could fit one in based on what our schedule was. So we opted for Lion King. And
well, and if you've got to choose one, I can't quarrel with that choice.
Yeah.
So...
What else? I did not go on Dinosaur again. I went on it once, and I was cursing the Carnotaurus for, I still do. And I've watched that ride video numerous times, and I'm like, I know the ride. I'm still not getting on that thing, because one of the reasons why I like Disney World is it's very easy for me to turn my brain off and be 12 again and be 6 again. I'm really good at being a man-child. And, damn it, that dinosaur could be real. And it's going to bite my head off. And I'm good. I don't need to do that ride ever again. And it's to my eternal shame that when my wife went on with my mother-in-law, she told me how my mother-in-law just laughed at everything. Like, it scared me.
Yeah, it's... I've mentioned it half a dozen times at least on this show, but, you know, my son's reaction when we got off it when he wrote it for the first time at age six was, you know, well, it's a good thing we survived. Just matter of fact.
One of the things that I wish, one of the ride pictures I wish I would have took, which I would have purchased, was the picture they take when my wife and I were on Dinosaur for our honeymoon, and I just looked mad. I just looked angry. But yeah, no, it was a good experience getting to go to Animal Kingdom, getting to see it with the in-laws. It's a park I feel guilty enjoying not enjoying as much. I do feel as part of it is being a little spoiled. We've got a great zoo here in town, and so the concept of going to see a good zoo or good animal exhibits is, you know, Animal Kingdom isn't a zoo. There's a certain level of like, well, I can kind of do this at home, and it's done very well here too.
Right.
So there's a little, it's a little less special, but it's still extremely well done. My enjoyment of Animal Kingdom is a little, I don't know, academic, I think.
I can see that. I recommend spending some time at the Dawa Bar. It's a good way to, you know, find a place to relax it at Animal Kingdom and enjoy it in a way that you would, you know, probably not enjoy your local zoo quite the same way.
Our local zoo apparently does have Dole Whips, though.
Well, Dole Whip is good, but African beer. You know.
See, that was when not on that trip, the one that we're talking about, but the previous trip with the friends of mine, where I was kind of being their Mary Poppins. That was the one thing we talked about doing, was knowing that there's not just African beer, but knowing that there was there's a beer that Anheuser-Busch brews specifically for Animal Kingdom, and as, you know, loyal sons of St. Louis, the need to drink everything AB makes. There was a little bit of failure that we didn't actually pull that one off, but, you know, priorities.
Right, right. All right, so let's kind of take a step back and big picture it again. And any sort of you know, meals or snacks or dining experiences that jump out to you from the trip overall?
As a continuation of my previous experience, I know I've already invoked the Dole Whip. I know the Dole Whip has a lot of fans, a lot of big Dole Whip boosters. That's fine. I'm happy people have a thing they like. I hate pineapple. So I would join that bandwagon if I could. I just don't like it. I'm driving the bus. If there's a bandwagon, a bus, whatever the vehicle is for the citrus swirl, I'm leaving that charge because that thing is delicious.
Okay, now I do have to ask, are we talking the Aloha Isle version of citrus swirl, or are we talking the true citrus swirl at Sunshine Tree Terrace?
Sunshine Tree Terrace.
Okay. The real good man.
That thing is delicious.
Yes, it is.
I don't know how many of those that I had between those two trips in the summer of 2012. I'm sure I'm still carrying them on me in just in a different metabolized form. It's probably why I can't lose the weight because it means so much to me.
Yeah.
But no, I'm a big citrus swirl guy. I like it's delicious.
All right. Well, I'm a big fan as well. I like the Dole Whip too, but I do, given the choice, prefer the citrus swirl.
I'm a big fan of the spicy.
The chicken and waffle sandwich.
Yes, the spicy chicken waffle sandwich. Oh. I'm like, I know there's another word in there.
We are Disney World soul brothers when it comes to food so far.
That thing's amazing. Picking up that sandwich at Sleepy Hollow, walking up kind of the back path into Fantasyland, and sitting on one of those benches in the shadow of Cinderella Castle, that's kind of perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That was one of my little personal moments. That trip was that snacking experience. Taking a break, and then I don't know how many other citrus rolls I had. One of the great things that happened on that trip, was that my just kind of in lieu of not really in lieu of anything for Christmas that year, my wife had told me that she has a friend that's a cast member who was at the time was on the Jungle Cruise. And she had, as a Christmas gift, sort of, it was kind of an odd gift because it was one that she just kind of told me about, that when we went down there, that all I would have, all I would have to do was ask. Now I know in retrospect that it's a, you know, it's a really common thing, but I didn't know this at the time, that all I would have to do is ask. And if this cast member was present, I'd be able to pilot the. I'd be able to be a jungle cruise skipper for at least a small section of the voyage.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. So the thing that, you know, 5-year-olds do, a 32-year-old did. And there's photographic proof of it. I am not ashamed of it. It was awesome. We actually, it was one of those times we actually had our camera running, and so we got the whole trip on the Jungle Cruise committed to memory, and it was one of the best Jungle Cruise skippers I'd ever had the pleasure of enjoying. He was really fantastic.
Cool. So it sounds like you guys had a fabulous trip. Anything about either Walt Disney World or about the resort, about Polynesian Islands, that you think would be helpful to people who were considering a similar trip?
I think... obviously, in terms of figuring out where you're going to stay, you know, balancing whether or not it's worth it to stay on property or not, and both times that I've stayed at Polynesian Isles, and not necessarily using them as an example, but just the whole concept of staying off property, and having also stayed on property recently, so being able to kind of gauge the two,
right.
It's a good option if you don't need to be completely ensconced in Disney 24/7. If you're looking at staying maybe at, you're open to the idea of staying on property and you don't need to, you know, if you're trying to do the dining plan, but it's within your means and you figure why not. But you're also looking to save a bit and you were probably going to go for a moderate resort anyway. It might be it's a perfectly serviceable alternative. Maybe if you can't get the exact lodgings you're looking for,
sure.
You do lose the, you know, you lose kind of the, you have to come back and forth out of the bubble, as it were. So there's a, you know, it's a little bit of it's not quite the same after finally getting to stay on property. I get why people are into staying on property. I do get it. But that's not necessarily worth it to everybody else. Different things are worth varying amounts to different people. So sure. There's something to be said for having a cheaper alternative, being able to kind of get away from Disney 24/7. We did have some time because my wife and I, when we go, we're big proponents of one, having a 0 day where you're not in the parks, where your first day in Florida is not spent rushing and going. You get to do any prep you need to do in terms of stocking the condo and just kind of resting before you, you know, dive headlong into the parks.
Yeah, sure.
So having that off property, I think it would be harder to do a 0 day. On property because you kind of feel that need, like, I need to go do stuff. I'm paying for this. I got to go enjoy it.
Yeah. No, that's true. I think that's a good point, that in some ways it allows you to relax a little bit in ways that you don't even realize at the time.
No, it was just, I think the only thing I wanted to add is, I know I brought this up like 5 or 6 times possibly, but in terms of like where we stayed, in terms of like travel time, it was roughly the same travel time when I stayed on property to Arnold Animation earlier in the year. I mean, it was not. I was sort of led to believe that staying on property is such a completely it's like a transformative experience. It's so much better. It's so much different. And it is. It you know, there are definitely things that stand out, but in terms of like tangibles, like how long you wait in the car, how long you drive, depending on how far out you are, they can be really similar. In terms of, it can be something where it's, in terms of like utility, I'm a fan of staying off property. There's something to be said for staying on property, but there's definitely an upshot to having that distance.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I have a good friend who is a Disneyland guy, and he's stayed, you know, both in the Disneyland resorts and off property, and he most of the time actually prefers staying off property and leaving the bubble behind. And leaving the hustle and all of that of the theme park behind at the end of the day, and says it's just easier, if nothing else, it's easier to get his kids calmed back down and to sleep.
So yeah, I can definitely see how that could be an issue.
All right. Well, Matt, thanks so much for coming on the show and sharing about your trip. Hopefully next time you're down at Walt Disney World, you'll chat with us again when you get back.
I'd be happy to.
All right. Thanks again.
Take care, Aaron.